Today, my dear faithful, is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. Now, the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12. Brethren, you know that when you were heathens, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God saith anathema to Jesus. And no man can say, the Lord Jesus, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of graces, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, who worketh all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto profit. To one indeed by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith in the same Spirit, to another the grace of healing in one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of speeches. But all these things one and the same Spirit worketh, dividing to everyone according as he will. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves as just and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee, standing, prayed thus with himself, O God, I give thee thanks that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, as also is this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, because every one that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel, my dear faithful, is a very comforting one indeed. In this gospel, we see the Pharisee, a person known for his good works. He fasts, he gives tithes, that is, he donates often. He is a just and holy man before all men, including himself. This honorable man stands in the front of the temple, giving thanks to God that he is not as other men, sinners. Far behind him kneels a publican, that is, a public sinner. He is bowed over, not daring to lift his eyes, filled with shame over the sins with which he has offended God. His hand softly beats against his chest as he murmurs his prayer, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our Lord, with his divine knowledge of hearts, revealed that it was the penitent publican, not the proud Pharisee, who pleased God by his prayers that day, and whose sins were forgiven. The public sinner, even with all his sins, was justified before God because he had true contrition. What a comfort it is to know that our Lord is pleased with and will forgive the sins of even the greatest of sinners who has true contrition. And that is exactly why the devil does everything he can to prevent men from having true sorrow for their sins, as Saint Don Bosco discovered in one of his dreams. A dream is what Don Bosco called it, just as he called all the rest of the visions he had. But these dreams so often contained many accurate prophecies of the future, astounding truths of the present, and revelations of the hidden past, that these dreams are commonly regarded as revelations from God. You see, Saint Don Bosco was a priest in Italy in the 19th century, and he looked after many, many orphan boys. He became so famous for his fantastic result with these abandoned boys that boys from all Italy and eventually all Europe were sent to him. To help him in his work, God would make known to Don Bosco many things by means of these dreams. Now, in one of these dreams, Don Bosco found himself in his chapel. Immediately, he noticed a great crowd of boys in line for confession. Don Bosco was shocked at this great number, thinking it would take him throughout the day to hear that many confessions. He hurried to the confessional to get started, but when he reached the front of the line, he suddenly stopped. Don Bosco had noticed a rope hanging around the neck of one of his boys. Alarmed, Don Bosco asked the boy, "What is that rope for?" Yet the boy stared at Don Bosco. "Take it off," the saint commanded. Yet still the boy stared blankly at the priest. Don Bosco then stepped forward to look at this rope, but he noticed two very long horns jutting out behind the boy's back. Startled, he stepped back and looked at the other boys in the line, and he saw that many of the boys had a similar pair of horns peeking out from behind them. Don Bosco then stepped to the side of that first boy and saw a hideous cat with those two horns pointing out of its head. This horned cat clung to the rope around the boy's neck, like a noose to strangle the boy. But it was not just one rope, but a number of them. When the evil-looking creature saw Don Bosco looking at it, it tried to crouch lower to hide itself. Don Bosco then ordered it, "Tell me who you are. What are you doing here?" He forced the devilish cat to answer him by threatening to sprinkle it with holy water. The cat snarled and said, "Don't you understand? I roped these boys into making bad confessions. With these same nooses, I drag 9/10 of mankind into hell." "Then in the name of Jesus Christ, speak," Don Bosco commanded. Forced to answer again, the hideous cat said, "With the first noose, I shame the boys so they conceal their sins in confession." "And the second," Don Bosco demanded, "I make them confess without true sorrow." "And with the third," at this, the horned cat refused to answer. "Tell me now," Don Bosco commanded again, as he lifted his arm holding the holy water. The cat screeched in fear, then snarled, "With the third noose, I keep them from making a firm resolution and carrying out their confessor's advice." Pandemonium then ensued, for the other horned cats hiding on the other boys' backs howled curses and threats at the cat that had betrayed them and revealed their weapon against mankind. Don Bosco then sprinkled his holy water all over the chapel to drive these demons away. And then he awoke, finding himself in his bed. Later, Don Bosco told this dream to his boys to warn them against those three great temptations the devil uses to prevent souls from having true contrition. The devils in Don Bosco's dream bragged that they dragged to hell 9/10 of men by means of these same three temptations. The devils, as the horned cats in Don Bosco's dream surely were, used these nooses to choke a person's contrition and prevent him from making a worthy contrition. First, before a person confesses, the devil whispers to the penitent how horrifying his sins are, how shocked the priest will be to hear them, and how great a penance that person will get if they confess these sins. In this way, the devil tempts the person not to confess their mortal sins, or at least not all. That way, instead of being forgiven, the penitent would add a sacrilege to his sins, instead of having them being forgiven. The devil does his best to make the penitent forget that our Lord is so pleased with a worthy confession of even the most terrible of sins, just as our Lord was pleased with the sorrow of the publican in today's gospel. The priest, as the minister of Christ and his representative, shares in our Lord's joy at a good confession. He longs to free souls from sin and be the instrument of forgiveness. But that is just the first weapon. The devil, if he fails with that, he tries his second, the noose of lack of care. The devil minimizes the person's sins. "It's no big deal," he whispers. "Hardly worth a second thought." In this way, the tempter waves aside a person's sins as unimportant and of no importance and of no matter. If the penitent gives in to this temptation, he won't be able to see the great evil of sin and thus will not be sorry for them. Of course, this does not mean that we need to feel a passionate remorse for our sins, so that we have to cry tears of sorrow in order to be forgiven. No, true sorrow for sin is a matter of our will, not our feelings. It is the will that, after the evil of sin is recognized, rejects sin and draws towards God instead. And thus, you may not have a feeling of sorrow when you go to confession, but if you reject your sins, God will be pleased by that confession. And that is when the third temptation gets pulled out, and it is the devil's most powerful and most deadly. It is the lack of a firm purpose of amendment. The devil in Don Bosco's dream was especially determined not to reveal this news, because this was and is the weapon that he defeats the most souls with. A person may confess all his sins with true sorrow, but if he is not determined to avoid the occasions of mortal sin in the future, the devil will quickly use these occasions to pull him back into mortal sin. And so, my dear faithful, as Don Bosco told this dream to his boys to warn them of these temptations, I urge you not to fall into these devilish traps. Never fear to confess your sins to the priest. That is why he is there, to absolve you of your sins. And nothing gives him greater joy than to be the instrument of Christ in forgiving those sins. However, at the same time, we must remember that confession is a sacred matter. When you are in the confessional, you are kneeling before God to tell him how sorry you are for offending him, for wounding his most sacred heart. For each and every sin is a wound in the most sacred heart of our Lord, like a thorn pressed into his heart. Each one causes him such sorrow, because in each sin, we choose some creature over him. We turn our back upon him. Remember this, then, and take the time to prepare well for confession. Examine your conscience and think over how your sins have offended God. Look at the crucifix and see what your sins have done to our God. Then make the decision to avoid sin and its near occasions. This is the firm purpose of amendment that is essential for a good confession. Be determined to avoid those persons, places, and things that you will lead you into mortal sin. In this way, my dear faithful, you will overcome the temptations of the devil, who will try his utmost to prevent you from making a good confession. If you do this, you will, like the publican in today's gospel, pray with all certainty of forgiveness. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Use the confessional well, my dear faithful, for the love of God and the salvation of your soul. Nothing else matters than this, as we say so often from the pulpit, than that you save your soul. And so let nothing get in the way of your salvation. Use the confessional well and please God. You will one day enjoy the eternal happiness of heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.